Tisha said, the Dharma that we can practice and realize, this Dharma, practice it well. The Dharma that you are most accustomed to, practice this for this life. And your most auspicious Dharma activities of your Guru, keep them pure. Follow the Dharma according to the Dharma requirements. And then in this way, all of the students that are following will also practice purely. And then even although there might not be many practitioners, however, the percentage of success will be very good. If there are thousands and thousands of students, however, none of them practice, and all of them remain in samsara, then all of the teachings of the Vajra Guru, do you think that they were of any benefit? What do you think is going to happen if you engage in all of these material concerns, making aspirations here, making aspirations there, making these offerings, those offerings, however, never actually settling down and practicing? We have no idea how to free ourselves from samsara. We don't even know what the road is. We don't even know where to find the path. First, save yourself from samsara. And then, when we return again, we can liberate animals. We can liberate sentient beings. Is there a difference between doing animal liberation and doing people liberation? What do we do for the fish when we do animal liberation? We give them some nectar, we recite some mantras. Does this liberate them? No. What it does do is it plants those seeds for their future liberation. What do we do with humans? We teach them the Dharma. However, they don't go and practice. And so really, is there much difference between the animal liberation or the people liberation? I think the distance for the fish and for the human from attaining liberation is around about the same. My suggestion is first that you liberate yourselves from these countless lives of revolving around in samsara. If you want to save a life, save this one first. If you yourself are not willing to practice, you're not willing to repent, you're not willing to settle down and meditate, then are we not just the same as those fish that we are liberating? These fish that we liberate, they're back in the ocean. Are they not possibly going to go and eat some other sea life? We repent, and then what do? We continue engaging in these activities of attachment, aversion, and ignorance. Just like the fish goes and carries on eating other fish when we release them, we carry on involving ourselves in attachment, aversion, and ignorance. Is that not the same? Not taking any more care? No actual repentance? And then we still think, oh, I've got so many years of practice, and I know so many great Vajra Gurus, and I've listened to so many teachings of Ma Mudra, Great Perfection, Madhyamaka. All of this is just empty talk. It's actually got nothing to do with you. In reality, no experience, no realization of wisdom, emptiness. Talking about these things, however, not even the slightest realization of renunciation. And the compassion we have to sentient beings, we don't have any of this either. If we don't have this foundation yet, then how is this foundation going to arise? Have a good look at yourself. Reflect. To what state have you practiced now? Have we been practicing correctly or incorrectly? Is our practice correct or not correct? Have a look. There are standards for the understanding, the reflection, and the practice, all the way from beginning through to the end of attaining enlightenment. There are these standards within Buddhism. Do we not know that we must practice? Of course we know that we must practice. Just for the last 15 or 20 years, we haven't been willing to practice. For such a long time, this word practice, how many times have we heard it? We've never used it. And then many things that happen. And why? Because they're not willing to practice. They're not willing to go into retreat. We say, going to retreat. They say, oh, that's far too long. 7 days is too long. 3 days is too long. How many years have passed? And in those years, how much negative karma has been generated? Do you not think that it's okay to just then go into retreat for 3 days or 7 days? Do you think it's not going to be of value to repent and to practice? And so you see the result is this result you have now. Half-hearted in everything you do. The Dharma that you should be practicing, you're not practicing. When you have the chance to repent, you're not repenting. To repent, you don't need any special actions. You don't need any special state of realization. You just have to have a mind of remorse and repentance. Not even willing to recite the Sutra of Great Liberation. Then how are you going to purify this negative karma, all of this killing and all of these abortions, all of these stealings? If you don't repent, do you think you're going to be able to attain liberation or enlightenment? What have we done? Negative karma for 30, 40, 50 years, and then just a little bit of time to recite the Sutra of Great Liberation. We think that this is too much time. And then when you end up in the animal realm, in the hungry ghost realm, the hell realm, do you not think that that is going to be too much time? All of that suffering? You're not willing to just take 2 hours in order to read the Sutra of Great Liberation to purify all of this negative karma? What type of belief? What type of merit? What type of renunciation does someone like this have? Do you think somebody like this is going to be able to attain liberation? Do you think they've got any hope? And someone like this doesn't feel like that they've gone down the wrong path. How can we think that we've not gone down the wrong path? Look, after all these years, how many afflictions we have, how much negative karma we've generated, how strong our negative habits are. Do you think that this is not having gone down the wrong path? And the way that you're half-heartedly practicing over the last 10 or 20 or 30 years, do you think that that's going to be able to purify all of your negative karma from beginning this time till now? Like this, are you going to be able to repay all your karmic debts? Some people think, after starting to practice Buddhism, that it doesn't matter. Whatever I do in terms of negative karma, it's not going to have any result. Have you ever heard a teaching like this? Bodhisattvas on the 8th Bhumi are still experiencing the result of karma. Never mind us ordinary people practicing the Dharma blindly. If we haven't practiced, then everything we are doing is doing it blindly. And when we are not practicing Buddhism, we are also confused. At the end of the day, the result is just being confused. And the result is just samsara. Think for yourself, how many years do you have left? Are you not getting older? Are you not going to experience death? Do you think that cause and effect is free, that there is no result? Where have you ever heard Buddha teaching like this? Do you think that the negative karma we have generated, we don't have to repent? We just like to keep on revolving around in samsara. We like this, we like that. Just, we don't like to practice. And after all of this time, when you meet with difficulties, hardships, dangers, your mind doesn't have anything to rely on, any support. And when you are facing death, there's no support for you either. This is just called practicing blindly. Doesn't have anything to relate it to what you are learning or what you are practicing. At the end of the day, you are still practicing blindly. What is practicing blindly? It's having no result. And today, still don't know to which degree or extent one has reached with one's practice. Every day reciting, reciting, and after reciting so much, still not able to transform afflictions. Not able to settle down in meditation for 10 minutes, and then still claim to be practicing, and really losing face before the guru. I am the student of such and such a guru, and I've been practicing for 20 or 30 years, and still I'm not able to transform my afflictions. I'm still not able to settle down in meditation for 10 minutes. And never mind losing face for oneself, bringing negative influence to the guru. And then in this person's room, there are these pictures of all these many gurus, but not one root guru. And then they're not even able to visualize a root guru. They're not able to visualize any of the gurus. They try and visualize one, and then they try the next one, and then they try and visualize the next one. They're not able to visualize a single one. And then they do the same with the deities, all these deities. They're not able to visualize one. This one's not pure. That visualization's not pure. One root guru represents all of the enlightened gurus. And then, have you been practicing guru yoga? No. Have you been doing the deity practices? No. Have you been making offerings to the Dharma protectors? No. The three main practices of the lineage, the guru, the yidams, the deities, the Dharma protectors, haven't practiced. And then, have you reached the stage of receiving the oral transmitted pith instructions of Longsel and Longchen? No. Have you received the appropriate empowerments? No. Have you practiced Torgal? No. But they say, every day I am practicing the secret Vajrayana.